My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first-timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Welcome to a brand new episode. On this episode, we're going to talk Christmas. We're going to talk Halloween. We're going to talk to Ben, who is on Instagram as Jet Setting Ben. And I think he's going to prove why he's got that title on this episode of the podcast. And as you're listening to this, I'm probably going to be at Disney World. I didn't think we'd get an episode out this week because I'm not here. But there's so much news to tell you about that I've got one out anyway. So I hope you don't miss this one. I hope you enjoy it. And don't forget, if you want to get in touch, you want to follow my journeys, you want to send any questions, you want to follow any news that breaks, at Pod Magical is where we are across all the socials. Hello to Louise, who sent me a message. Louise wants to know the best dessert at Walt Disney World. Now, is this my opinion or is this a general survey? Because I'm going to have to give you my opinion on my favourite dessert at Disney World, Louise. Does Gaston's Tavern cinnamon bun count as a dessert? That's like a breakfast dessert, isn't it? So let's not count that one, but that would definitely be in there. Hummingbird cake at Homecoming is also definitely in there because you know I love Homecoming, although you can get the trio of desserts at Homecoming now. That's another good option. But I think if I was to crown my number one, it would be, and probably one of the cheapest desserts on property because it's part of family dining, family style dining, Sebastian's Bistro over at Caribbean Beach. You know I like it there. The dessert at the end of it, because it's served family style, you get, it's like a coconut pineapple bread pudding. So, you know, have you had the bread pudding at Ahana's? It's better than that because there's just more flavour to it. I think it's plant-based as well, and it comes with the most amazing ice cream that gets melted over the top. So the coconut pineapple bread pudding, Sebastian's Bistro at Caribbean Beach, I would say is the greatest dessert on property at Walt Disney World, Louise. Go try it. Let me know. What do you think? Do you agree? What's your favourite dessert? Let's put a poll on Instagram at some point over the next week. At Pod Magical is where we are. Any questions? Fire them over. And if you want to be a podcast guest, let me know, just like Ben. And let's welcome Ben to this episode of the podcast. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Do I call you Jet Setting Ben?
No, you can call me Ben. It's fine. I'll get called loads of different names, to be honest.
Okay. Jet Setting Ben is your Instagram handle. Is that because you do go on quite a few holidays?
Yeah, that's it. I tend to travel as much as I can. Any excuse, then I'm often on the plane or a cruise ship nowadays as well.
Yeah, you love your Disney cruises. Would you say Disney is the best for cruising?
I'd say they're one of the best. I do really like Celebrity and Royal Caribbean as well. But Disney are really good. I've now done 28 cruises over the years with various cruise lines and about 12 with Disney. So, yeah, I've definitely got the cruising bug, you could say.
you definitely. Was that, say, since the pandemic? Because honestly, a lot of people since, like, suddenly we got our freedom back and everybody's like, actually, cruises are really good.
Yeah, that's true. So I actually went on my first cruise pre-pandemic in 2008. I did a couple then I kind of had a bit of a break. And then post-pandemic, I think I've really seen the boom and I've seen the appeal of cruises grow myself as well. But to be honest, it's a great way to holiday because you get everything included and you get to travel to some amazing destinations. And then, of course, on the Disney cruise, you've got the added Disney magic as well. So it just helps.
Yeah, and if you're going to Disney World, you can quite easily tie in a cruise, not just Disney, but you know, it's on your doorstep there, isn't it, all those Caribbean cruises?
Yeah, exactly. It's really handy to even for like a short weekend break, like Disney and other lines, they now do those like 3-day Bahama cruises from Port Canaveral. So it's literally an hour from Orlando, then you're on the ship for the weekend, which is great.
But let's go back. Let's talk about Disney World, because that's what this podcast is all about. In fact, the last time I saw you, and I don't know, you might still be there, waiting for the Mears Connect at Orlando International Airport. Saw you on the plane at Heathrow, then I saw you, and then they were like, I waved as our coach left first. How long have you been going to Disney World?
Disney World, I've been going since 2002, so that was my very first trip there. We did 2 weeks staying on the site at the All-Star Movies for my mum's birthday, and it was my first experience going to Florida as well. So it was a minefield, to be honest, but it was full of amazing memories. I still remember walking into the All Star movies for the very first time, seeing the Sorcerer Mickey sculpture by the pool, and I remember going to 1900 Park Fair at the Grand Floridian for a birthday meal as well, which is really amazing. And then since then, you could kind of say the rest is history, and I've now probably been more than 30-ish times, which seems horrific but also amazing at the same time.
Yeah. So was that first time, was it going to be a one-off? Was it one of those once in a lifetime, it's probably the only time we go here?
Definitely. It was definitely like once in a lifetime. Okay, we'll do this, see what we like. We loved it. So then we went back in 2005 over Christmas and New Year for 2 weeks then, which was amazing. We then had a bit of a break for quite a few years. So we didn't go again to Florida till 2011, which is then when I actually sailed on the Disney Dream. So I was on one of the first sailings for that. And we stayed 2 days either side at the Polynesian Resort and then Wilderness Lodge, which is amazing. And then from about 2017 onwards, I've kind of been going a couple of times a year. And that's when I finally got an annual pass as well. So I'm now proud to say I'm an annual pass holder for Walt Disney World.
Have you got an annual pass for Paris as well?
Yeah, so I got one for Paris earlier this year. And I've also still currently got the magic key for California as well. But that sadly expires next month.
Oh, well, are you going to go to California one more time to get the most out of your magic key, or...
I mean, it'd be rude not to, wouldn't it, to be honest?
So
I just
kind
of wish they would, yeah. It's in the planning process at the moment, and I just wish one day they might bring back the Premier Pass, which is when you had the annual pass for both Florida and California in one, because that was really good value, but then that got discontinued at COVID, and it's never come back, sadly.
Yeah, that would be good to have them for both, and then there'd be no stopping you. Are you leaving it quite late to book a flight to California, or are you a bit of a late booker anyway?
I'm a bit of a late booker anyway, and I'm also very good at like those redemption things. So if whether it's BA, Virgin or another airline, I've got air miles I can use. So I'll just look out around for the latest deals, because sometimes you'll find some will pop up last minute. If they haven't sold the seats commercially, they'll put them available for redemption.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Because last time I saw you, you were, I think you were on a reward flight, weren't you?
That was it. Yep.
Yeah. In premium economy, I was walking to the back and there you were with you. Your biggest seat with your reward flight. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So how many times do you think you've been to Walt Disney World?
Probably 31 times, I'd say, which is kind of funny because I am 31, so maybe if I just keep that mantra going and just try and add at least one trip a year.
No, because that wouldn't be enough then, Ben.
You can't,
you're telling me you're only going to go once a year for the rest of your life.
No,
you've got to really up it.
I was going to say, I mean, you could say I was only there, what, last week, 2 weeks ago, and I've just about finished the popcorn I brought back home with me, so I feel like I need to go back and get some more.
But California though, next time.
Yeah, true.
So have you got a particular favorite memory, 30 plus times of going to Walt Disney World? Is the one standout memory that you hold dearest to your heart?
Every time I go, I'm always seeing something different that I probably haven't seen before, but one standout moment will probably be the first time I saw Happily Ever After.
Yeah,
I think I was always a big fan of Wishes, and when they said that was retiring, I was like, you can't do this. But actually, Happily Ever After has grown on me, and it's got the storytelling is amazing, projection effects on the castle, and now down Main Street as well. The music, of course, it's that real amazing kiss goodnight that Disney always try and do, and I think they really hit the mark on that, and I'm so glad they brought the show back as well.
Yeah, because we had the in-between one for the 50th. Which,
Enchantment. Yeah, we did.
Enchantment. Which I think you can still go watch if you go to the after-hours party. You can do both in one night. But yeah, Happily Ever After is definitely the one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely one that I think, especially like this, our generation now as well, like everyone's kind of growing up with it. And it's just amazing to see. And like when I see like my best friends who haven't been there before, when I see that their reactions to the show, it kind of makes all the difference as well.
You're like me. You like taking people for their first visit.
Like, mainly because they ask me as well, because they're like, oh, Ben, what top tips do you have? What advice? I'm like, well, shall I just come with you and I'll just take you around and show you the best things to do?
That is a brilliant idea. Next time somebody asks me for advice, I'll go, don't worry, I'll just come with you. But you've got to do what I do and say what I say.
Be like, I'll show you the best way how to make the most out of your day.
And yeah, your personal VIP tour guide.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of this podcast, I will ask you about your perfect day at Walt Disney World. Ben is with us on this episode. Back with Ben in just a moment. Let's have some news from Walt Disney World first. Let's talk about Halloween, because all the Halloween stuff has been announced. It was announced last week, actually, during halfway to Halloween. Now, Was it really halfway to Halloween last week? Because halfway to Halloween would say, well, we're 6 months away because there's 12 months in a year. But we're actually about 3 months away from the first Halloween party. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party will be back from the 7th of August for select nights at Magic Kingdom. Obviously, it's a separate ticketed event. But for that, you get all the candy you can fill your bags with. The fireworks are back. The parade is back. The Sanderson sisters are back. There's going to be more characters than before. And there's a new dance party. Stitch will be holding a new dance party for 2026 in Tomorrowland. There'll be snacks and everything. So, yes, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I think the price is the same as last year. Tickets are on sale now with discounts for annual pass holders and DVC members who get $10 off. Woo! It goes right through till actual Halloween. That's the last one this year. And also, the Epcot Food and Wine Festival is back at Epcot. As part of that, you've got the Fromage Montage, you've got the Eat to the Beat concert series, and there's some new snacks coming to Epcot this year. Epcot Food and Wine, which is going to run from the 27th of August till the 21st of November this year. Away from that, we've got some more foodie news. There's some new drinks at Geo 82. There's a couple of new drinks on the menu. I think they're mostly gin-based, actually. If you love your Bloody Mary, there's a Bloody Mary mixology class that's been introduced at Chef Art Smith's Homecoming in Disney Springs. And there's some new menu items at Yak and Yeti over at Animal Kingdom as well. Any other news between now and the next podcast, at Pod Magical is where we are. So we are back to Ben, talking Disney World. Let's talk about some of your favourite things. Have you stayed at pretty much every resort then, having gone 30-plus times?
I haven't actually, no. So I've done all the All-Star Resorts. I've done the Pop Century, which is amazing, because, of course, you've got the Skyliner now, which is very easy to get to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And then I've stayed at the Polynesian Village and Wilderness Lodge. And probably my favourite resort was Animal Kingdom Lodge, actually, because, of course, that unique environment. And I remember going for a meal at Sanaa one evening at Kajani Village, and we had some of the animals coming literally right by the window, which was really cool, eyeing up when I was eating all the bread.
Yeah. Would you have to pick a particular favourite?
I like the Polynesian. I know some people don't, but I absolutely love it. I think the location is amazing, the theming as well. Maybe because I'm a big fan of Trader Sam, so the Grog Grotto at Walt Disney World, but also the original one, Enchanted Tiki Bar, over at Disneyland Hotel in California as well. I just like the island vibes, to be honest. And I think there's nothing better sometimes if you've had a long day in the park, just going along the beach in the evening, just sitting there and then watching Happily Ever After across the lagoon.
I'm a big fan of Wailulu Lounge. Even though it's only been open like a year or so, it's got construction already. But it's just like, even if on a Magic Kingdom day. Have you never been?
This is the problem I have. I always try not to do everything because then I have an excuse for going back. So then when my friends are saying, oh, why are you going to Disney again? I'll be like, well, actually, I haven't done this, haven't done that, haven't done this. So it keeps it fresh.
I like your planning. That's great. Are you a DVC member?
I'm not, no. I'm afraid to say. I can never kind of work it out in my mind.
Yeah. When you look at the bank balance and go, this is quite a commitment.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of the seminars that I have on board the cruises and stuff, but still, just I can't kind of figure it out at the moment.
They've not got you just quite yet. Maybe so.
Not yet. I'm sure they will eventually.
What are your favourite places to eat around the parks?
Around the parks? Oh.
Or in the resorts, of course, anyway.
In the parks, Regal Eagle at Epcot. I'm a huge fan of that. The barbecue is amazing, I think.
Yeah.
Hollywood Studios, it's a bit of that hidden gem now because not many people sometimes go there, so Backlot Express. But I think also because of the theming as well, because it's like OG what the park used to be when it was MGM Studios. So that's really cool. I like going there. In the resorts itself, fine dining, well, I could say Sanaa was really good. I've never done Victor and Albert's at the Grand Floridian. That is definitely on the bucket list. But I have done Citrico's, which was really cool. And I love the updates with the theming to all about Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah, it looks cute. So we've not got you quite into the Michelin-starred Victorian Alberts just yet.
Not yet, no. But on the flip side, I have done Remy on board and Disney Cruise Line, and that was absolutely amazing. So I can only imagine that Victorian Alberts is the next level from that.
And I love what you say about Backlot Express. You're completely right. I think I haven't been there for you. I think the last time I went was maybe a couple of years ago just to get a Wookiee cookie. but yeah, it's that last remnants of MGM Studios back there, isn't it? Just holding on to it. Yeah.
Yeah, and all the hidden details and props everywhere, which the Imagineers are so good at putting there. I mean, just every time I'm sitting there somewhere different in the restaurant, I then spot something. I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
Right, next trip. Batluck Express. Definitely. Instead of going to all the same places all the time. Yeah, pop it on the list. Yeah, it could be like my, not my first, but like my re-first. My rebirth for Walt Disney World. When it comes to attractions, favourites?
Oh, I mean, Guardians definitely has to be up there, I think, ever since their attraction opened. At first, I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to like this, the whole Omnicoaster experience, but I absolutely love it. And I love music as well. One of my favourites is, I'm ashamed to say, is Conga, because I know a lot of people don't really like it, but I actually think it's good fun.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to see, like, friends' reactions, like when they've never been on it before as well, because I don't tell them anything about the ride, and then just seeing them as you launch and then like, what is going on? And like, this is and when they come off, they're like, this is absolutely amazing, can we go again? I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go and queue up for 90 minutes again, why not? Get into the air conditioning.
It's interesting to say that like your friends don't know what's going to happen. I think it must just be a thing of Disney fans. I try my best to, like, the new nighttime experience at Adventure World in Paris, I did my best, even though it's only been open a few weeks, to when I went, not to watch any YouTube videos of what it's going to be. But it's very hard sometimes to resist or even just find out, like, that, you know, what's going to happen on some of the attractions. It's really difficult, isn't it? But people who are not massive, massive Disney fans, I'm guessing everything is just new for them, isn't it? Because they don't know. It's the unexpected.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely unexpected to them, which is actually really nice. Because like you said, otherwise Disney fans, we can sometimes see a lot of spoilers online or on social media, and it can be really hard to avoid it. So I was the same when I went to Adventure World. I was trying to avoid seeing about everything new was there in the new show, Cascade of Lights. Fortunately, I managed to avoid most of the spoilers. So then I had that nice surprise and delight when I saw it for the very first time.
Yeah, it is really good, that one, by the way. Next time people go to Paris, make sure you go and go and see that one. Any Definitely. Attractions that are no longer with us? You know, you've been going for 20-plus years. Mm-hmm. Anything that you miss?
Primeval World.
Really?
I think because, so I live in Brighton here in the UK, and so we have the pier, and there's an attraction at the end of the pier which is very much like it. And I kind of just think it kind of gives, always used to remind me of home when I went on it, which was kind of good fun. Dinosaur, I kind of will miss a bit, but I'm also excited for Indiana Jones. I think that'll be really fun. And then I think it's just some of the classics. So, of course, Magic Kingdom's going through that huge multi-billion dollar transformation at the moment. I am sad the riverboat's gone, but I'm excited to see what's happening in the future.
Yeah. I think it is going to be good. I think it is going to be good what they're doing there. And, you know, it's not a museum. Things have got to move on. But
exactly.
I will miss that big waterway, that just a little bit of peace and tranquility back there around Big Thunder and Splash Mountain. Just that little bit of... We'll see what they put on. I think there will be water there, I think. But yeah, I think it might be a bit louder than it was before.
I was in the queue for Haunted Mansion recently, I was trying to peek through the holes in the construction walls to see what was going on. But sadly, I couldn't see much.
And now they're building another big wall around Big Thunder, aren't they? I've noticed where it goes around the side. Because I used to love that bit where it used to go around the side of the water.
Yeah, it was really cool. But like you said, they're building the big wall, so we can't really see what's going on.
Excited, though, for the future. When is your next trip to Disney World, by the way? Obviously, you're going to California soon, hopefully.
Disney World. So nothing's planned over the summer at the moment. That will probably change, knowing me, especially with those VIP pass holder days starting as well, because there's always some good incentives. But otherwise, planned will be 1st of October.
Okay, for Halloween.
Yeah. Actually never done Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. It's always been on my bucket list, so I might actually finally do it this year.
Yes. Take extra bags for all the sweets and candy at the end and load up tickets on sale now. what about tips that you would give people? Obviously, you like to take people for the first time. What generic tips have you kind of like picked up over your travels?
Yeah, good question. So definitely make a plan, but at the same time, always allow for a degree of flexibility. So don't be too upset. Like if you have this plan, you get to the park and then suddenly you can't go on do some of the rides you want to do or see some of the shows because other things happen. Don't be too upset about it. Some of the fun about being at a Disney park or any park, for example, is the spontaneity. So just being in there, in the surrounded, immersed in the environment and then plans change, which is fine. Or you suddenly see like a wait time for, let's say, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror has gone down to 25 minutes. So you decide to ditch seeing one of the shows and do that instead, it's completely fine. I mean, you can always go back at the end of the day, and there's just so much to see and do, so just definitely be flexible, but also keep checking the My Disney Experience app for any updates with attraction wait times, or if you've purchased a Lightning Lane, you might have made selections that are only available later in the day. Keep checking back on the app, because sometimes selections early in the day will appear. I think that's the big tip I always tell everyone, because sometimes they think, oh, they've made it to go on Toy Story Mania for like 2:30 in the afternoon and they're in the park at 10 a.m. I'm like, we'll just keep checking back because earlier times might appear.
Yeah. Are you a Lightning Lane user then, or is it every now and then?
Every now and then, I'd say. I think it's one of those things that you're very fortunate, especially with an annual pass. You have the opportunity to go to the parks quite often.
Yeah.
So I'm sometimes not too fast if I can't always go on the ride, but if I'm with friends and stuff who are only there probably for the once in a lifetime trip, or they're only there for a few hours, if they really want to do an attraction, then definitely I will ensure we all have Lightning Lanes.
You can be kind of like tied to the Lightning Lanes though, and I only ever get them every now and then, and if I've purchased it for the day, I feel like it dominates the entire day then, because you're like, right, I need to get as many attractions done, I need to get my money's worth out of this, where sometimes, you know, just doing one or two attractions and taking in the atmosphere is actually even better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of my friends here in the UK think I'm crazy when I've gone into, like, say, Magic Kingdom for the day and I haven't gone on any rides whatsoever. I've just been soaking up the atmosphere and seeing some of the shows and then just people watching, to be honest. Sitting down with a coffee on the hub grass and just people watching. Sometimes it's the best way. I mean, that's a perfect Sunday afternoon for me.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. If we're going to, every Sunday afternoon could be a Sunday afternoon just sat on a park bench in Magic Kingdom, then that would be like life.
That would be amazing.
Do you venture out to anywhere outside the Disney bubble when you go, or are you Disney through and through?
I'm relatively Disney through and through, but I do venture a bit further outside the bubble. So I haven't been to Universal in quite a few years. I'm really keen to go to Epic Universe. I've heard absolutely amazing things about that, and I think it's really exciting, everything they've been investing in. And then I just go around the greater Orlando area as well. So, like, going down to Celebration for the day, I mean, if I had the money, I would probably want to live in Celebration, because I think it's the ideal community, moments away from the magic, but then you've got that small town charm as well.
Yeah, you can tell it was built by Disney, or not owned by Disney anymore, but it's definitely got that Disney white picket fence feel to it. And then, you know, the little town centre around the little lake and the little coffee shops and stuff, it is unbelievably cute.
Yeah. It really is. And then I do venture out a bit more. So I do try and go to some of the famous American restaurants that we all love now and then if I can. I'm ashamed to say there's still a few on my bucket list that I haven't been to, but I will eventually tick those off.
Where have you not been? Have you IHOP?
I've been to IHOP. I haven't been to like Denny's. I haven't been to Chick-fil-A, which I know is absolutely horrendous. All my friends keep shouting at me for it, but I will get there one day.
It's funny when you start going to places like that, especially you've been at Disney and you go out, maybe you go to Universal and venture off to International Drive and you go, oh my word, everything is so much cheaper when you get out here.
Yeah, I know, that is the mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The Disney dollar is strong. So if I was to give you your perfect Walt Disney World day, you've got 24 hours just to go, this is what I want to do, this is going to make it brilliant. What would you do? How would you spend it? Where would you stay? Where would you eat? What would you do?
Really good idea. So I definitely stay at the Polynesian as one of my favourite resorts. Mm-hmm. I'll probably start the day off at Magic Kingdom, get a coffee, Starbucks or Joffrey's, and I'll sit on Main Street for a bit, do some people watching, which is really cool. I love going on the People Mover. I think that's an amazing attraction. I wish they had it in more Disney parks around the world. That's also a great thing to do to kill some time. Space Mountain is one of... I do love Space Mountain, although I'm absolutely terrified every single time I go on it in Florida that I'm going to lose my hands when I wave them in the air. Definitely would visit the confectionery probably multiple times throughout the day. I have a sweet tooth, I'm ashamed to say, so I'll be purchasing popcorn and all the cookies. I also have this really bad mentality that, you know, the giant Mickey Mouse chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah.
That are around about like $7 or $8. I'm like, well, with my annual pass discount, like, actually, they're really good value, because if you think in the UK, if you go to a coffee shop here, you get a tiny cookie and it'll cost you £3 or £4. I'm like, I'm getting a giant cookie for pretty much the same price after the exchange rate.
Yeah, and 10% off with the annual pass. Yeah,
exactly.
Bargain. Practically free.
Yeah, essentially. Everything in Disney is free anyway. Just Disney money doesn't count, to be honest.
Exactly. Once you get there, everything's free.
Yeah, exactly. Other attractions, so I love the classics, so like Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, would definitely have to go on those. probably catch Festival of Fantasy, and then I'd do some park hopping, most likely over to Epcot to go on Guardians. And then it'd be rude not to visit World Showcase, so I probably would have to go to Mexico and get a margarita, just because it's one of those things you have to do. That would probably take me probably to about 3 or 4 p.m. in the day, hop on the Skyliner, go over to Hollywood Studios for the later in the afternoon, probably go and catch Indiana Jones if it's still showing, because I always love that show, and it's amazing it's going for, what, 34 plus years now?
Yeah, since
which
it
is
opened,
absolutely
isn't it?
Crazy. Yeah, which is amazing. Then if I was going to end the evening in Hollywood Studios, it would definitely be going to see Fantasmic, which is one of my all-time favourite shows.
It's difficult, isn't it? If you've got one day, where do you choose to end the night? There's some people on the podcast
really
that spend
hard.
Their ideal day by doing every single attraction, which is not achievable. But like, when it comes to the end of the night, you've only got one to choose from.
Yeah, unless it's in those random times, like in the year when there's like an early Fantasmic and then Happily Ever After, something isn't on until late and you've just got enough time to park hop, but... I've only done it once, and I think I was absolutely exhausted by the time I got to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, well, I've got my eye on next time. So 9 o'clock Epcot, and then Hollywood Studios is open until 10, so you need to be in before 10, but Fantasmic's at half 10. And also the second Fantasmic is, like, not as busy. So it's absolute win. Do that.
It's
very
a dream,
fast walk.
Yeah.
Very fast. Don't get the bus or the Skyliner or the boat. Walk. You will get
walk.
Fast walk. Fast walk.
You will.
Yeah. Perfect day. Well, good luck with organising your plan to California. Maybe I'll see
you
at Heathrow Airport next time. Just bump into you, maybe, or on...
you never know.
Mears Connect or whatever. You never know.
If it turns up. I'm still waiting there now.
It turns up eventually. Do you remember when we were standing there, they were trying to load... I think somebody was in an ECV, and they were loading them on a lift right at the back. It was very nervy. It was very
nervy. It was very nervy. I just kept looking, thinking, oh, I hope this goes okay. And then I kept thinking... When is our coach going to turn up?
Yes, please. We've been here 45 minutes now.
Yeah.
lovely chatting to you, and have a magical day, Ben.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Heading over to Walt Disney World soon. Well, I think we're definitely into humid season now, with temperatures way into the low 30s. Even at night, it's still low 20s, which is lovely at night. But if you don't like the humidity, well, the next few months, May, June, July, August, September... We're into the humid season, but you're at Disney World. Yeah, just drink plenty of water and get on with it. Meanwhile, we've got the Flower and Garden Festival running over at Epcot. That is on until June the 1st. And we've got the Garden Rock Series, which continues as part of that. Katrina and the Waves this weekend, walking on sunshine. Then it'll be 98 degrees. That's the group, not the temperature. 9th and 10th of May, the Spinners. Or the Detroit Spinners, as they were called in the UK, working my way back to you, babe, and that. But in America, they were just called the Spinners. It's because we had a band from Liverpool called the Spinners in the 60s. If you want a bit of music history, then. But the Detroit Spinners, going to be at Epcot on the 15th and 16th, looking a little bit ahead towards the end of the month. May the 26th is when a lot of new things start arriving. Cool Kids Summer is back. Rock and Roller Coaster with the Muppets will officially open on that date. Animation Courtyard at Hollywood Studios also opens that day with the new Disney Junior Dance Party. Although the rest of that animation building isn't going to be open then. That's going to be later this year. Magic Kingdom, they've got Jessie doing her roundup at the Diamond Horseshoe. There's a little bit of a party going on. And of course, Bluey arrives at Animal Kingdom on May the 26th as well. And let's finish with a top tip. Have you booked your Christmas restaurants yet for Walt Disney World? If you're going over Christmas, you can book them now. And you'll be thinking, no, you can't. You can only book 60 days out. Well, no, you're wrong. In fact, if you are struggling to find some reservations over at Disney World, particularly at Disney Springs, then try Open Table. If you only book your restaurants through the Walt Disney World app, and that's good because you can get a lot of them through the Walt Disney World app, but certain restaurants, particularly over at Disney Springs, the likes of Summer House on the Lake and the Boathouse, the Edison, Raglan Road, they are actually open for bookings way more than 60 days. I'm talking months ahead. In fact, if you want to go for Christmas, Christmas bookings are now available via Open Table. Cake Bake Shop. That Boardwalk is on there as well. Yeah, you can book months out. And if you're struggling to find a reservation over the next couple of weeks and you think it's sold out, try Open Table. Yeah, give it another go. That's it for this episode. As I say, I should, all be well, be at Walt Disney World this weekend. What's the new Big Thunder like? Did I get on it? Who knows? We'll find out in the next episode, where we'll also talk to a Disney bride. Ever wonder what it's like getting married at Walt Disney World? Disney fairy tale bride on our next episode in 2 weeks from now. Hit that subscribe button, and until then, please stand clear of the doors.